Welcome to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
The most important skill in logic is finding the argument. Just finding out what is the argument. Because most people aren't very skilled at making an argument. They have a lot of rhetoric, and you have to really be sharp to try and pick out what exactly is their argument that they're making. And once you can do that, the debate becomes very, very easy. Let me say one other thing, too. You have to add some things to help the argument along, because especially in our day of the media, where they have to pay for space or for time, airtime, most of the argument is always going to be left out. And so you have to fill in the blanks. And that's just the way this nature of the beast. I mean, I just wrote a letter to the editor, and most of my arguments, supporting arguments, I had to leave out because I limited to 300 words. So you have to fill in the blanks.
Okay, the rest of the podcast that I was going to air, the rest of this recorded message, was all about a letter to the editor that I had the class read, and we picked apart the arguments and discovered the arguments. So since you don't have that to read, then I'm not even going to play that. Instead, we'll just take a headline from today's news, the day I'm recording this, which is June 5th, the New York Times article headline, "Minneapolis police use force against black people at 7 times the rate of whites." That's the headline. The police use force against blacks 7 times more than whites. Now, that's just, the way that's stated, it's just stated as a fact. It's not stated as an argument. There's no therefore. But there is a therefore implied, right? I mean, it's not just a random factoid that's interesting. They're trying to make a point. So what is the point? Well, if the point's not obvious from the headline, all you have to do is read through the article where they just kind of repeat that figure a bunch of different ways. They give a map. They keep saying it and giving different numbers that basically say the same thing. And then, later in the article, we get this statement. "Fears that the Minneapolis police may have an uncontrollable problem appeared to prod state officials into action Tuesday. The governor, Tim Walz, a Democrat, said the State Department of Human Rights launched an investigation into whether the police department, quote, engaged in systemic discriminatory practices toward people of color, end quote, over the past decade. So the argument that's implied in the headline is this. Since police use force against blacks 7 times more often than whites, that shows discrimination in the system. That is, the system itself has discriminatory practices that result in those numbers. How do they arrive at that conclusion? Well, their logic seems to be the only way blacks could receive force from police more often than whites is if the police are discriminating. That is, they see a black person and they're more likely to use force against them than if they see a white person because of the fact that they're black. And that is the only way to explain the statistics. There's no other explanation for why blacks would be recipients of force more frequently than whites. So the argument is this. The only way blacks could receive force more often than whites is if there's racial discrimination. Blacks do receive force more often than whites. Therefore, there must be racial discrimination. Now, when you break it down like that, when you get the argument laid out on the table like that, then you can see how it's fairly easy to see the fallacy. In this case, it's a flawed premise. The very first premise, the only way there could be a disparity in numbers is if there's discrimination. There's nothing in the article to support that premise. And this applies to all the arguments about the disparity of numbers in the penal system and all the rest. If you just change it from skin color to gender, you can see the error. You could say the vast majority of people in prison are men, probably 90%+ are men. Does that prove that police have a gender bias? They hate men, and so whenever they see a man, they're more likely to arrest them than a woman doing the same thing. No, it doesn't mean that they're against men. It just happens this way because men commit way more crimes, especially violent crimes. 99% of violent crimes are committed by men. And so you would expect there'd be more men in prison. So, are there more crimes committed by blacks than whites? And could that explain the disparity of why they have more run-ins with the police? The answer to that question is yes. According to the Wall Street Journal's Jason Riley, in a 2014 article, he said blacks commit violent crimes at 7 to 10 times the rate that whites do. So if they commit crimes 7 to 10 times more often than whites, then you would expect they would have at least 7 times more run-ins with the police than whites. So all that just to say, there's another possible. This is a false dilemma to say, well, if there's a disparity in the numbers, therefore the only explanation can be racism. That's a false dilemma. There's another possibility. There's another explanation. Now, somebody might disagree with that and say, no, I don't think that's the reason for the disparity. I do think that the reason for the disparity is discrimination. That's something that can be argued and debated. But for the purposes of this class, all I'm trying to do now is show you how to take an implied argument and get it laid out in explicit terms so you can just see exactly what the argument is. Because when you get that skill, when you hear a headline and say, what is the argument being made there? You hear a headline and then you hear the comments after the headline. It's like, okay, they're drawing a conclusion based on these facts. What is the line of reasoning? This is true and this is true, therefore that is true. And if you can lay it out in those terms, very often it becomes much, much easier to spot the fallacy in the reasoning. And we'll talk more later in the podcast about spotting the fallacies, but here it's just a matter of discerning the argument. So I would urge you to practice this. Maybe turn on the news today, or go online and look at some news, or go on Facebook or someplace where there's some debate, and just look at what people are saying. Look at a meme or something like that and say, what is the reasoning? It doesn't have to be bad reasoning. Maybe it's good reasoning. We're not necessarily looking for fallacies at this point, just learning how to discover the logical arguments. Practice that a little bit, and I'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.